Peace and love, everyone. Welcome to yet another episode of In Defense of Liberation, the show that is working towards and educating about true people's liberation movements and revolution. I'm your host, Raven. I use she, her pronouns. And today is just going to be driving with In Defense of Liberation, riding with Raven. I don't know what to call it anymore. Just kind of me talking, no real clear objective or point in the episode, other than to, you know, speak on some of the things I've been dealing with, thinking about, worrying about. I think the thing that really sticks out to me in this moment as something we ought to be discussing, something we ought to be investigating, something we all ought to be working to resolve, which is this question of organization. Now, I've talked about this issue on the podcast before, and it's not my idea. It's not my concept, right? But something that has obviously gotten a bit misconstrued are these words, these terms, these definitions, these objectives that we are putting forward in this moment. One of those is the idea of mobilization, right? We need to mobilize. We need to activate. And we understand what this means, right? But not insofar as a historical analysis goes. Because what I've noticed in myself and in others is that we have very, 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 very key blind spots when it comes to our history. The history of struggle. Not just simply here on Turtle Island, but around the world. Many of us don't know the history of revolutionary parties, revolutionary organizations, revolutionary projects. Many of us don't know not just the theory, but like what practical examples, what applications, which attempts have been put into the open, put into reality and tested and experimented with. A lot of us continue, as we've spoken about before, to repeat failed and ineffective tactics. And we've also spoken about the issue of one-off, disconnected, protests, demonstrations, speakouts, conferences, etc., that don't have tied to them or are not a part of a larger organizing strategy towards building consciousness, building relationships, building connections, building organization. Because right now we're having constant, consistent demonstrations, protests, disruptions, occupations, speakouts, conferences, webinars. Pamphlets are going out, sign and banner droppings are happening, die-ins, walkouts, all kinds of shit is happening. We just saw that more protesters were arrested in D.C. We're seeing protesters arrested in Florida, Arizona, in Washington State, in California, in New York City. We're seeing videos of young demonstrators, of even elderly folks, of folks in wheelchairs, folks on crutches, being arrested, being beaten, being humiliated. And what this really is, these videos, right, that we see, not just of the Palestinians being brutalized, not just of the Congolese being brutalized, but also of protesters and demonstrators, students and conscious objectors, or conscientious objectors, whatever it's called, right? Children, elderly folks, going out and demonstrating, and what's happening to them? They're getting the shit rocked out of them. They're getting arrested. They're having to put up bail. They're having to put up court fees. They're having to put up fees for lawyers, right? Some of them are doing fucking jail time. Some of them, you know, some of the young land defenders, water protectors, folks like Joshua Williams. And, of course, like folks like Mumia Abu-Jamal, Leonard Peltier, Sis Joy Powell, Kamau Siddiqui. These folks are getting their health drained. They're getting their mental health drained. They're being abused. They're not being fed right. They're not getting exercise. They're not being able to see and smell and touch the natural world. They're not able to connect with, write to, or visit with their family members. Mumia just lost his wife, and Leonard just lost his sister not too long ago, both within the last year. And neither one of them were able to go to those funerals. That's a crime against humanity. That's a part of genocide. And that's what we have to understand today, is that this is the most clear, positive, objective propaganda for the ruling class. These types of demonstrations that end in mass arrests, that end in kettling, that end in beating, that is propaganda for the New York Police Department, for the Atlanta Police Department, for the LA Police Department. Just like the picture we saw of the stripped, detained, beaten Palestinian man tied to a chair, sitting beneath, being forced to sit beneath, strapped to the nines, IDF genocidal genocide enactor, member of the occupation forces. This is propaganda for the ruling class, because what it shows to the people of the world, the oppressed masses of the world, is that they are able, that is, these ruling class security guards, these bodyguards, these lap dogs, these lackeys of the capitalists, the imperialists, right? This special armed body, the military, the police, the National Guard, but also fascistic far-right settlers on Turtle Island and in Palestine, going out and committing acts of violence. This is propaganda showing the people they are killing, but also the world, that they can do all of this openly on live stream genocide over 30,000 people, and not a goddamn thing is going to be done by the so-called international community. Not a goddamn thing is going to be done by any of these complicit comprador Arab regimes. Not a goddamn thing is going to be done by these so-called socialist nations. And this isn't to diminish their socialist project, but simply to point out that in principle, at this point in time, there needs to be a solidarity that meets the necessity of the moment. And that brings me to the point I really want to dive into, which is this question of where the fuck are these organizations? So I've been a part of about 10 or so, maybe a dozen organizations in the past 5 years. Some local, some national, some international. And I'm still a member of a few. Shout out Spirit of Mandela. Shout out Nicaragua Solidarity Coalition. Shout out About the People Network. But in the last few months, right, it's been really hard for me and a lot of others to square explicit and consistent acts of vulgar, brutal, inhumane genocide, as if there's any version of genocide that isn't so. Some of the most extreme, technologically advanced, high death count numbers in such a short amount of time. And all these organizations around the world are coming out and saying they stand with Palestine, right? And yet, what do? How do they stand with Palestine? These organizations stand with Palestine in the same way they stand with oppressed people here on Turtle Island, which is in word. There are no institutions or apparati, that the people, the masses, are clearly engaged in, clearly encouraged by, and organizing around. It's the election season. Who gives a fuck? Apparently, fucking everybody again. And we do this shit every 4 years. Every 4 years. We have an election. A new president is elected. All of the policies and legislation that they don't like that was, you know, so important for the last 4 years, well, that all just gets gutted. Any significant change that the previous administration has put in, that's just reversed. And still, day to day, week to week, month to month, people are dying of starvation. They're dying of a lack of medical and health services. They're dying from environmental causes. Not just climate change, but also the spread of disease. They're dying from a lack of hygiene products. They're dying from a lack of water. They're dying because they're out in the cold or out in the extreme heat, or they're out in all kinds of weather conditions where it's unsafe because they do not have shelter. People are dying because they're poor, because they're unemployed, because they're addicted to drugs, because of so many reasons. But if we don't understand that right now what is happening is people are being killed because of war, not just wars that call themselves war, but the inability for people to feed themselves, the inability for people to afford healthcare, the inability for people to have shelter, that is a war. And we continue to push this forward, that the people of the world are already at war, whether they recognize it or not. And if they don't recognize it, not only are they losing, but they're bound to lose as they continue to ignore reality. The organizations that exist here, and many of them around the world, fall into this camp as well. Not just the NGOs and the nonprofits and the liberally orgs, but especially also those who call themselves socialist, who call themselves things like Marxist-Leninist or communist, who in this moment can do nothing but release statements, have an educational event with a couple hundred people that already agree or are already about to agree. We have protest after protest after protest after protest after protest after protest after protest. We have fundraiser after fundraiser after fundraiser after fundraiser. We got a million prisoner committees. We got a million collectives. We got a million coalitions. But you go out here and you talk to everyday people. You go out here and you talk to folks on the street. They don't fucking know anything about a single one of these groups. They don't know shit about any of these fucking people that are out here writing books on theory, writing books on China, writing books on North Korea, writing books on Nicaragua and Cuba. We got all these fucking people writing books, but nobody having a goddamn revolution. We got every fucking organization will tell you that they're revolutionary. Every organization will tell you that they're about revolution, about revolutionary change. If they're, you know, worth their salt, even a little bit. Folks who still call themselves radical, I can't play around with y'all anymore. I don't trust y'all. I don't know what you mean. Y'all aren't clear. You do not define yourselves and you refuse to do so. And you got all these organizations, right? And at the end of the day, the masses are not organized. They might be a part of an organization. Shit. We might have an organization that's got 10,000 members. But what do those 10,000 members do? Pay fucking dues and go to meetings for that organization. What the fuck does that do? What the fuck does that do? I went to a protest in New York City this time about a year ago. At that demonstration, I received 17 newspapers. 17 newspapers. That means of those groups that were there, there were at least 17 of them that wrote their own newspaper, their own newsletter, and wanted to use this event as an opportunity to pass it out. Now, I don't know who actually set up the event. I really don't. At this point, I don't know who's who so much anymore. There's so many fucking names, but they're all like the same five goddamn organizations. You got fucking hundreds of goddamn organizations, but yet, what are they? Okay, a newsletter, right, great. I get to read 17 different articles on today's event, 17 different articles on Ukraine, 17 different articles on Russia, 17 different articles on China, 17 different articles on Joe Biden and the election. Like, it's shit. It's shit to wipe your ass with, because what the fuck does anyone care about what you have to say about Cuba or China or, you know, nobody cares what you have to say about Turtle Island. Nobody cares about what you have to say about your own backyard, because you're not active in your backyard. I'm not active in my backyard. We're all sitting around fucking talking to each other on fucking social media. We're all out here reading books. We're all out here passing around educational materials, whatever, whatever. But like, when it comes to building unity, when it comes to building class consciousness, when it comes to building mass organization, when it comes to getting the youth involved, when it comes to getting the youth connecting with the elders, when it comes to the incarcerated, locked down, imprisoned folks in these concentration camps, in these prisoner of war camps, when it comes to the mothers, when it comes to the disabled community, when it comes to trans folks, when it comes to young, gay, lesbian, bisexual, queer, non-binary, gender non-conforming folks, these folks are unorganized. They have to pick and choose between a bunch of fucking bullshit-ass organizations who, at the end of the day, don't have them, don't have these youth, don't have these young kids, don't have these real leaders, people with experience, people with drive, people with the will to step beyond compromise, step into a real principled struggle. They're not in leadership. They're on the front lines. They're in the pictures so that, you know, this group or that group can say we have Africans or we have trans folks or we have disabled people in our organization. But those folks aren't making the decisions. And the people are not making the decisions. They are not being organized. They are not being educated, because education takes action. Experimentation, trial and error, questioning, lesson learning, failure, mistakes, learning again, failing again. It takes doing, not just reading, not just talking, not just thinking. Because at the end of the day, what Kwame Ture says about not only organizing versus mobilizing, but about the idea of doing and thinking, is that we often think we're thinking about something, but we're not really thinking about it, because in order to really think about a thing, we have to do the thing. And if we don't do the thing, then we think we're thinking about a thing, but really, we're not thinking about anything. What we're thinking about is the bullshit that's in our head. And as we've said, as revolutionary leaders like Amilcar Cabral says, we want to get our heads out of the skies and our feet into the soil. We got to recognize the failures, the mistakes, the contradictions, and the need to build through that. when it's easy, when it's hard, when it's convenient, when it's sexy, when people are in the streets, when people are tucked away, when people are scared, when it's election season, when, you know, every single day, every single moment we have, me and all of us have to continuously self-critique and do more and do more and do more and get together, meet with one another, support one another, and really build each other up. Because again, what we're talking about is organizing the masses. So you, me, and a couple people who are a part of an organization now, we are not the end-all be-all. And we should never think we are, because that's ego. That's up here. What we are is a little bit ahead of the curve, because we have had those in our lives. We have had opportunities in our lives. We have had experiences in our lives that have brought us to this point. And we have taken the conscious step towards educating ourselves and getting organized. Other people are not incapable of or ignorant towards these things so much as they are not given the same opportunities and not interacting with the same people in their life that we have to this point. I could rant on for, you know, forever on this point, but what I really want to put forward, like, productively is the idea that revolutionary change, right, it doesn't come from organizations. It comes from people who build mass organization. It is through the conscious and consistent participation, as well as the debates, the dialogue, the discussions, the experiments, the projects, the failures, the lessons learned, shared, historicized, documented, and used as lessons and tools to be implemented, not just chatted about. When we talk about revolutionary change, what we're talking about is a process of generations. It begins from where we are. Capitalism, imperialism, and it builds and it builds and it builds and it builds on itself until finally we break from this system and we start to build our own. Once we start to build our own, we're not talking about no, oh yeah, let's all get together and have a little party and we'll smoke and we'll chill and we'll get to, you know, just jam out and just chat it out. When we're talking about real revolutionary change, two things need to be kept into account. First, self-defense. If ever any of us step out, even in word, and declare the importance of, say, unions, or mass organization, or revolution, we face all sorts of risks, persecution, and consequences. So, looking at history, we know nothing is different when it comes to really stepping out and taking action. We know what happened to the Panthers. We know what happened to the Young Lords. We know what happened to the American Indian Movement. Or maybe we don't. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe the issue is that we think that for the first time, we're having these ideas. That for the first time, human beings in this side of the world are coming to consciousness on this thing, on these things. But that's not the case. The second thing we need to keep in account is that along with self-defense, we actually have to develop a world that benefits the people. Because otherwise, shit, they'll just overthrow us. They'll just overthrow whoever is in their place because it's a revolutionary situation. If we look at the February Revolution and the October Revolution, if we look at the series of revolutions that swept through China, if we look at the series of uprisings and revolts and revolutions which swept through Africa, Asia, and Latin America as whole continents, then we can see that what we're talking about is not only not new, but it's also not simple. And it's not something that we can do or talk about or think about or organize around lightheartedly, because revolutionary change, of course, is a threat to the status quo. It's a threat to the ruling class. It's a threat to those who benefit and whose interests are completely attuned to the system as it stands. Those people, those organizations, those collectives, those corporations, those banks, those military, those National Guards, those police forces, those settlers, not only do they have wealth and power, but they also have weaponry. And so if we're going to develop something, if we're going to organize and try to build something new, we got to be prepared for all possibilities. We got to be prepared for having to do things for the first time, like figuring out how to get food and clothing and water and shelter and health services to every single person. That's a completely new task for this, you know, corner of the globe in the last 300, 400, 500 years. So when we look at our organizations and we ask ourselves, why does it feel like we're not doing enough? Why does it, you know, why are we constantly feeling as if we're not doing enough? Because we're not. We're not. At the end of the day, there is a group of people in Palestine, in Lebanon, in Iraq, in Kuwait, in Iran, in Afghanistan, in Yemen, and throughout the region. There are people in Cuba, Nicaragua, Colombia, Venezuela, El Salvador, Ecuador, all of these nations throughout Africa, who are willing to fight, actually fight, go to war, engage in class warfare, engage in class struggle to free themselves. Well, over here, we're not even willing to lose our jobs. You know, I'm not willing to come on here on the podcast and say everything because I don't want to go to jail. I don't, you know, want to... whatever. We as individuals are incapable of taking the risks, making the sacrifices that we need because our organizations are not setting us up to do so. If we had organizations and collectives and support groups where we could sustain real sacrifices, real risk, look at history. People would be doing it. People are doing it, even as these organizations continue to fail. But the reality is, until these efforts are not only strengthened, heightened, and more coordinated, but take on a truly revolutionary approach to develop strategies and tactics to come to concrete solutions about concrete problems, and to participatorily, collectively, and consistently work to implement solutions, or at least experiment with them. Take the lessons and learn from it, and experiment again. Until we are doing that on a mass scale, until the average person is actively engaged in something, anything like this, to try to organize themselves, not just mobilize, not just activate other people, because people aren't stupid. People are not a light switch that's off that need to be turned on. People are without opportunity. People are without real support. And so until that changes, people aren't going to step out. People will continuously choose the easier route, the thing that will self-soothe, the thing that will self-preserve. Whatever decision it is, it cannot be blamed on the individual, but rather can only be blamed on the circumstances, the conditions, and the level of organization that exists when that person goes to make that decision. So lastly, we just say, at the end of the day, until we get to a point where we are really, truly learning the lessons of history and implementing them, we will continue to see people die. We will continue to fail. We will continue to see this organization and that organization bicker, write books, have speaking tours, have leadership coups, have all kinds of drama and shit come out about them, because these organizations are benefiting from a status quo. They're benefiting from releasing statement after statement. They're benefiting from releasing book after book. And they're benefiting from posting on social media about this shit as if they're really doing anything to shake the foundation of the system at large. The last thing we say is all power to the motherfucking people. Free all political prisoners. By any means necessary, we say long live the Palestinian people. Peace, y'all.